Hi, I'm Jessica Colbert. I'm a senior and I go to Boyd High School. And my testimony, I've been here about almost 2 years, coming up this December 16th, and I actually came here at a Christmas party from meeting Heather Bogart, who she used to come here, and then she knew Patrick Day, and I met them and came here. And I'm sure I've had the greatest first impression for the Crawfords because I had to do a game with Miss Tanya, and I had to do a serious face contest with Miss Tanya while wearing reindeer antlers and I believe a Rudolph the Red-Nosed nose. And I actually won, which is a surprise, and but really it should have been a tie because we both kept going back and forth actually smiling. But through the years, I've completely changed. At school, I would be more shy and reserved. But I remember when I first came here to the Christmas party, I was more of my natural self, being loud and obnoxious, and I was just so happy hanging out with everyone. I've never felt so much welcomed in a church than I have than this church before. And I've never shook so many hands in my life coming to this church. Like, every day is expected to shake your hand. So when I shake someone's hand, it's like it's weird not to shake someone's hand. So it's amazing. And because of that, I learned how to have a firm handshake. So it always amazes guys, you have a firm handshake. I'm like, yeah, because to shake so many hands. I'm so glad I came here because not only just coming here, the next summer I went to church camp and I was saved. And I was saved July 27th, 2012. And it was glorious to see my brother saved also 2 days before I was. And just having my family come here, it was amazing to see all of our faith restored, all of us change and become so much closer and so much more love grow together. And it's just completely amazing how this church and how God works in your life. And I just want to thank you so much for welcoming us in this church, because I couldn't have done anything without you guys. Everyone's so nice here. I've met so many families, met so many friends, and I just have such the greatest relationships with everyone here now. And I know I can always go to one of my church family members for anything if I ever need anything. And I just want to end by saying, if I have prayer requests, just to help my family to continue to grow in the God's faith. And I have a Bible club at Boyd, and just help the numbers continue to grow there, and help me to continue to grow in God's will and to figure out His will for me as I'm about to graduate. So thank you so much, guys.
We're honored to have a youth group with so many wonderful teenagers. And something spectacular has kind of happened in our church in the last couple of years. We've just had a lot of preacher boys. Before my wife and I came, there was a number of preacher boys here. And it's exciting to think two or three of them are off at Bible college training now. And so our numbers have kind of gone down, but we're getting young men are surrendering the call to preach. And so I'm thankful for a church and a pastor who wants to help the younger generation, aren't you? I was telling the guys tonight, I preached in church maybe one time before I went to college. And so some of these guys have been in 8th grade, 7th grade, and have preached in church already. So they'll be a bit nervous. This is a little bit bigger auditorium than last time. And we're going to start the youngest first, so we'll allow Noah Day. So let's have a Brother Troy, Miss Andrew, do you all mind just staying up so everyone knows who Noah's parents are? Very good. Noah's going to come preach first, and then Josh will be our second preacher, Pastor Miss Tanya. In case you all don't know who they are, that's our pastor and his wife, Miss Tanya. But we'll have Noah come preach to us first.
All right. Well, turn your Bibles to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Tonight I'm going to talk about fearing the Lord. And this is an area that I even struggle with, fearing the Lord. I'll let everybody get a chance to get there. All right. It says in verse number 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see the children's children in peace upon Israel." Well, you may be wondering, what is God saying here in this passage? Well, he's saying, follow me, fear me, love me, obey me, whatever. Just come to me and I'll take care of you. He says in verse number 2, "Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." So just follow me and I'll take care of you. That's what God's saying here. I've lost track of the Lord and several times in my devotional life and everything. And when I always get back, I always feel so much more stronger in the Lord and so much more firm and basically stood more firm in the faith. For my life verse is actually in this passage. It's Psalm 128:4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. It's just that right there. I just underlined that Bible verse right there. That's good stuff. So he's also, another cool thing that he's also promised us here is in verse number 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. What does that mean? He's blessing you with long life. We look at a couple of Bible characters in the Bible that feared the Lord. Joseph, if you look in Genesis 39, verse 9, it says, there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Well, if you look back in this passage, he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife has an eye on him. And she says, come lie with me. And, of course, Joseph refuses right then. And he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that right there is just an example of him fearing the Lord. If you look earlier in his life, he was sold into slavery by his brothers because his brothers hated him. And God blessed him because he still stood firm and feared the Lord. From slavery, he became second in command of Egypt and saved pretty much all the world. Because of this, he was also thrown in prison. But did he give up on God? No, he didn't give up on God. We also look at another Bible character, Job. If you turn to Job 1, verse number 20. It says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped. Now, that is a great example of him fearing the Lord. Because earlier in this passage, his entire life, what he's built upon, and his entire family has just been wiped out by the devil. Because God made a deal with the devil. He said, hey, look at my servant Job. That's a guy that fears the Lord. There's no one like Job. That's what God said. I want that testimony, and I hope you all want that testimony too, because that testimony is a great example of fearing the Lord. And I'm going to close with this. Do you fear the Lord? That's my one question. Do you fear the Lord? He will take care of you, and he will bless you. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this day, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity for me to preach, Lord, and I thank you for just giving all my friends here in the youth group, Lord, and a good youth pastor, Lord, and a good pastor, Lord, and a good church. Just please with Joshua, Victor, and Dylan as they come to preach, Lord, and have them say what you would want them to say, Lord, and just please be with them, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1. I'll be preaching on striving together. And in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In this, we see that the Christian life has also been used compared to with a race. You know, you run in the race. Also as being a soldier. Got to have the full armor of God. And we also see in this verse that we are supposed to strive together as a team, kind of like football. I'm a football guy, so that's going to be my example. And so we as a church must work together. Our goal is to win souls. We need to go out witnessing the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's kind of like a touchdown in a game. You want to get the touchdown so you can win the football game. And then also in various ministries, youth ministries, children's ministries, soul winning, it's kind of like your various place. You have your running place, your passing place, all your different deals that you try to do to get to your goal. And then you also have, not only should we labor together with each other, but also with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And then my second point is the opposition. We as Christians all have an opposition. The devil is, of course, our biggest opposition. He's right around the corner, seeking whom he may devour. And it's kind of like your opponents. If you're on offense, your defense, that's your opponent. That's your opposition. You got to get past them to get to your goal. And then your distractions, kind of like your fans, as in my dad. Because he likes to yell a lot, and it can get very distracting sometimes. Just trying to ignore and kind of look away. But then you also have people on your own team. Other Christians, showboats is what I wrote down, show-offs. People who do it for the wrong reason, they're there just to so they can be seen. And just, we got to strive together. So as we strive together, we as a church need to win souls and fulfill our duty. Our duty is the Great Commission. And that's it. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and I pray that you just be with the rest of the speakers tonight, be with the rest of the service, and that you just give Dylan and Victor the words to speak, and you'd help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
But you may be seated. And we're going in order of grades, and so we're getting older as we go. And so now we'll have Victor preach for us. So Brother Juan and Miss Eva, do you all mind standing right here so you guys can see the proud parents here? So Brother Juan, Miss Eva, and then the Mosleys. So Donnie's back here. Miss Dar's up here in the front. So this is Dylan's parents. So come on, Victor, come preach for us.
All right. Hello. Super nervous, but... Okay, we'll be in Proverbs 28, verse 1. Okay. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And to skip to verse 12. When the righteous men do rejoice, but their great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that overcometh his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Okay. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Ungodly people are so bound by fear, they run in terror, even when no one is chasing them. One important fact about sin, that sin kills. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the wages of sin is death. Sorry. Wages of sin is this, or this. Sin kills many areas. Sin kills boldness, confidence, assurance. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, his first reaction was fear. And he hid himself, although the Bible, you see, is a connection between sin and fear. It is impossible to be bold in the Lord if you have unconfessed sin in your life. It will destroy your desire to witness and to share Christ with people. It will destroy your confidence in prayer. Sin will rob you of peace and joy. Even I have problems with sin, even though I'm a teenager, there's always going to be problems. Most Christians have unconfessed sins that the Lord Jesus Christ knows, because a sin that is what will keep us from pleasing our one and only God. Jesus is our only Savior to get to heaven. Without Him dying on the cross for our sins, life would just be a waste and have nothing to live for. And that's it. Thank you. And let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for what you've done, Lord, and thank you for giving Noah and Josh the words to speak, Lord, and please be with Dylan as he's giving his message out that you gave him, Lord. And thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, there are many commandments in the Bible, but I believe some have precedence over some, and I believe giving God the glory in all things we do is definitely on the top 10. Now, I believe there are many examples in the Bible giving God the glory, but there's also some of how not to. And it's Ananias and Sapphira. And if you would turn to Acts 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, as it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And he said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all of them, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, I believe they sold it, because I'm pretty sure they saw, you know, someone give $1,000 and saw them, you know, getting pats on the back and saying, you know, good job. And I'm pretty sure they said, hey, we could do that too. Let's sell some land that, we don't use. And let's say they got $1,500 and they kept back $1,000 and said, here, we sold all our land and we got $500 for it. And, they only cared about looking good. And, I believe we need to be very careful in everything we do, whether it's, singing or playing an instrument, or even preaching, being careful that we don't end up that way. And I believe, once God stops getting the glory, I believe the church ceases to exist, because it's just a social gathering. And, one of the examples of how to give God the glory is the woman of mites. And if you would turn to Mark 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more than all that which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Now, I'm pretty sure when Jesus called his disciples together and he said, this woman who gave two mites gave more than the person who gave a gold. And I'm pretty sure looking at her like, or looking at him like, what? Like, how is two mites more than one gold? It's kind of like this. She only had two mites. And the person who gave one gold probably had 100 gold. And she gave more than the person who gave one gold and two mites because she gave all that she had and did it to glorify God. Now, Brother Jesse, let's say Brother Jesse has 40 hours a week of free time and he only gives 20 to the Lord. And let's say Brother Wiggins has 10 hours of free time because he works so hard. Let's say he gives 8 hours of free time to the Lord. Right there, therefore, Brother Wiggins gave more to God than Brother Jesse did. But if they did, but if he did it in vain, just to raise himself up, then it was for nothing. And lastly, God gives us talents for a reason. He gives us money for a reason, and that's to glorify Him. And you don't have to turn here, but in Isaiah 61. Verse 3, to appoint unto him that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He gives us talents for a reason. He gives us time for a reason, and that's to glorify him. I really do believe that if we lose sight of that, then we cease to become a church. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, just thank you for this night. Thank you for this day. And just thank you for Preacher Boys. Thank you for letting us be able to serve you, Lord, and help us all keep in mind that what you give us is to be used for the glory of you. And if any are here that have not been saved, Lord, let me save if it be your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, enjoyed that. Amen. Think about that for a moment. The first preacher, the fear of the Lord. And you fear the Lord, you're blessed, the Bible says. By the way, Solomon said, all is vanity. At the end of his life, all is vanity except to fear the Lord and obey his commandments. So we need to be reminded that we ought to fear the Lord. I'll be headed up to Oklahoma this evening to see my dad and to help him with a project which I'll name nameless, but a project that will require physical labor. And so I'll be gone the next couple of days. But you think about my earthly dad, that I do reverently fear him. I did growing up. You know what? When I was a little kid, I just absolutely feared him. And then as I got older, I reverently feared him. And we ought to reverently fear our Heavenly Father. It's not that we're afraid that he's going to strike us down with a lightning bolt, but we are afraid that one day we will be accountable to him. And we will. Amen? Appreciate that, Noah, very much. And Josh, of course, my son, we think about teamwork. And it is. Our job as a church is to strive together. That we are a team, and our goal is to reach people with the gospel, and that we should be about the Father's business. Amen? Trying to make a touchdown. Right? Trying to see people get saved. And we think about sin and how that when we are in sin, that fear sets in, that lack of confidence, no longer hearing from God, that fellowship is broken. And it's good to be reminded that sin puts us in that position. Sin will keep you from the Bible, the Bible will keep you from sin. And so we need to be reminded of that. And then Dylan, we appreciate that. Do all things to the glory of God. I want to remind you parents that it is our responsibility to teach our children that their purpose in life is to glorify God. And remind us adults that our purpose is to glorify God in everything that we do. At work, at school, whatever we do, that we ought to bring glory to God. That is our purpose, to bring glory to Him. Appreciate the messages tonight. Let's all stand with verse invitation. And tonight is something that's touched your heart and something that was said, something that was preached, one of the songs. Whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart, you come tonight as we sing. We're going to sing hymn number, we're going to sing a... What is it? Take My Life and Let It Be? Hymn 39, all right?